Let us pray. Gracious Father, help us to receive you as we need to receive the children in our lives, to take them up in our arms and to receive them for everything that they are. We thank you that you have received us as your brothers and sisters. And Father, we thank you for adopting us as your children. We pray all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the disciples had been arguing about who was the greatest among them. And Jesus has now, for the second time, told them that the Son of Man, he, the Messiah, has to be arrested and killed. Now, they know that Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. He has made the authorities unhappy, and he has lived in a way that sometimes went against, many times, went against the common understanding of how society is put together. He was nonviolent. He accepted everybody who came into his life on his own terms, being the Son of God. But that meant he understood them to their core and loved them the way they needed to be loved. And if they were full of guilt for their sin, as that paralyzed man was, the first thing he did was to pronounce the forgiveness of sin for them. And then he told them to stand up and walk, and he picked up his bed and he went home. Jesus always knows where the root cause of the problem is. That's why when he got into the conversations with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the sinners and his disciples, he always got right to the real point. He rarely answered the question, but he got to the real issue that they presented. After today's lesson, they talk about divorce. He's challenged by the scribes and Pharisees about divorce. And there were two famous rabbis who had differing opinions. One said you could only divorce because of unchastity or unfaithfulness of your partner. And the other one said if she burned your toast, you could divorce her. No, seriously, if she makes you unhappy in any way, if she can't make toast, you can divorce her. And so they come to Jesus and they ask, so what do you think, Jesus? And he goes back to what Moses says. Moses allowed you because of your hardness of heart. Now, the law of Moses says that the husband can put out his wife, divorce her. The wife is not allowed to divorce the husband. So if he doesn't eat everything that she fixes, she can't divorce him. If he keeps leaving the seat up on the toilet, she can't divorce him. It was only the man's prerogative, and the laws were written for a patriarchal society, a domination by the male over the female. And Jesus begins to break that all down, and he even takes the one in the household who has absolutely no power, no identity, no place, the child. And he takes him in his arms, and he accepts him and loves him and gives him as an example. Now, the disciples had just been arguing about who's the greatest. And Jesus uses a person who has no personhood in that society, who is not considered a person, who is considered property. Children should be heard and not seen. Boy, I wish he was 21 already. Can't wait till he grows up. He can fend for himself. And yet, parents and grandparents have the responsibility to raise the child, to know God, and to make wise choices. So they have to deal with the kids. And that's what we have to do, right? But we often forget they are real people with real feelings and real dreams. And we don't always understand how they think. If you have a 3-year-old who goes out of church and sees a person who has a man who has long, thick brown hair and a beard, and they come home and they say, "I saw Jesus today." They're not lying to you. The 3-year-old saw somebody who matches all the pictures they've been showing him in Sunday school. I saw that man today, and you keep telling me he's Jesus. Three-year-olds and two-year-olds, they don't know the difference. They don't understand that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. They can't make sense of that. Their brains, the way they think, aren't developed that way. So don't call that little child a liar. They're not lying to you. We have to understand how children think and what they feel and how they deal with the world as they grow. Year by year, what their brain is able to do changes. And we have to understand that in order to respond to them properly. And that's part of what this course is about, learning to set proper boundaries for different age groups so that the children feel free to live and be who they are, but in a safe world. And what Jesus wanted to do was make this a much safer world by making everybody equal partners, by raising women and children to the status of personhood, to say these are real people too. It didn't take the power away from men, it took the domination away from men and gave the power of discussion and decision-making to the whole family. Now, we know we don't let five-year-olds decide what we're going to have for supper. That's mom and dad decide what we should eat. But I have to tell the story again. So I'm in a buffet line, all right? And I'm standing behind a mother and a son. Son's about 8 years old. And, you know, buffet line has this much food on it. Right? You can't eat all that. You can't even have a bite of each thing. It's a lot of food, all right? So they're in this buffet line ahead of me. And the mother says to the boy, here's some carrots. Do you want some carrots? And the boy says, no. And the mother says, but you like carrots. And puts carrots on his plate. He didn't want these carrots. He wanted the peas and the cauliflower that was coming up. But you see, we don't even allow kids to say, no, today I'm not in the mood for carrots. I want peas today. But you like carrots. You're going to have carrots. When we go through the buffet line, we choose what I always skip the carrots. They're way overcooked. Right? We have to realize that some days, some kids don't feel like eating carrots. Now, you got to eat one vegetable. So do you want carrots or peas or cauliflower or broccoli or squash? No. You give them the choice, you're going to eat a vegetable, but maybe they don't want carrots today. That's perfectly all right. You get it? We have choices and they can have choices too. Nothing against carrots, okay? Don't go home and say, Pastor Dave doesn't like carrots. I do, I like carrots. Right? Yeah. But nonviolence and bringing everybody into the picture as real people is what Jesus was trying to do, along with saving everybody, to say that everybody is worth a lot. Even this child, whom you pay no attention to until you have to, is worth everything in my eyes, and you need to understand that, unless he says a little bit later, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So this child, a person, least in our society, you need to receive that least person the way you receive Jesus. And if you receive that person, you are receiving Jesus and then receiving his Father. But most people don't have time for little kids. Who was the comedian that said, go away, kid, you bother me? Doesn't matter. But you all know the line, right? Go away, kid, you bother me. So a little bit later, Jesus gets back to the children. Ah, I lost it. I went too far. Hang on a second. There it is, right after the discussion about divorce. Who suffers the most in a divorce? the children. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But Jesus saw this, and he was indignant against his disciples. And he said to them, "You let the little children come to me. Do not stop them." Now, see, most of you read this as Jesus saying, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them." No, he was indignant. Indignant. What does that sound like? "Let the little children come to me. Please don't stop them." No. "You let the little children come to me. Don't you dare think of stopping them. For it is as such as these that of the..." Oh, let me read the words here. "For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Even the least. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." I don't think it means you have to receive the kingdom as a child receives the kingdom in full dependence and faith, although that's true. I think part of what he's getting at here is in the same way you accept children into your life as one of the least is the way you will accept the kingdom. As a free gift, as a partner, So what changes does that mean for us? What is Jesus calling us to do? We need to think of the people in our lives or that class of people in our society that we consider to be of no account. It might be the rich, the filthy rich, because we'll never get there and we're jealous of their freedom to go and do and be whatever they want. It might be the smart, because we might think we're not very smart, but you are. You're a lot smarter than you think you are. It might be the people from the other side of the tracks, from the other side of the state, from the other political party, from, I mean, whatever kind of groups and divisions we have. Whatever people you would put low on your totem pole, not because they're the foundation of it, but because they're not worth anything, you need to plug that group in to this saying, if you will not receive them, you will not receive me. And if you do receive them, you receive me and my Father who sent me. In Jesus' society, children were the least of all. And so he picked the boy up, held him in his arms, and made him a real person. We have to make everybody real people. It's not easy to do because a lot of times we don't think much of ourselves. And it's hard to think much of others if we don't think much of ourselves. If I feel powerless, I'm at the beck and call and mercy of everybody else in the world. And I just have to put up with what they do. And we come to believe as powerless people that we have to live that way. We give in to the way society rules things and sets up the rules. And we find our place and we live that way. That's what the slaves did in every society over the centuries. That's what slaves have done. I'm a slave. I'm a serf. I'm a peasant. I'm a poor man. I'm a craftsman. This is my station in life. I can't do any better. That's why we like America so much, right? No matter how low you start out, you can become president of the United States. But I'll let you know I'm not voting for any of you. And please don't vote for me. I'm not qualified. We need to understand those that we place low and treat them like real people, as equal partners in the kingdom of God. because Jesus died for them too. Amen.